Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? Guys, being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network. We are your hosts here on this water cooler Wednesday edition of the show. Kyle and I have done about 550 podcasts together in our life, and I have never in my life heard Kyle count us down quite like he just did about 25 seconds. Kyle, welcome. You're obviously
not. I'm just trying to get the energy level up on the pod, you know? We got to bring the A game. It's hump day. Yeah, sitting here looking at my my ring device, which is apparently a very dad thing to have and to look at. I saw that on social media this past week. But I just texted you, Joe. Did you get my text?
Yeah, it says, okay, I see it now. It says live view of the house.
Yeah.
And, look at that.
I got the horses in the back, Joe.
Brother, that's not a Dodge Dart.
No, yeah, we hit an upgrade yesterday.
Yeah.
Got myself a 2016 Ford Mustang, my second career Mustang. And Joe.
Sir.
That leads me into Water Cooler Wednesday. We're just about BSing, right? We'll talk some football, we'll talk some not football. It brings me into my first talking point. And my question for you is, do you have any idea what the stereotype is of a quote unquote Kyle?
Yeah, you fit it. You fit it in a lot of ways.
Help me out here, because I'm not familiar, and I didn't know when a Kyle became a certain kind of person.
It's you, so that's it. It's
someone. Well, yes, I am Kyle. Yeah. Yes,
you're a Monster Energy drink enthusiast. People that have random outbursts, which anyone that's been around you knows that that's very well possible. I guarantee you've punched a hole through a drywall.
I actually have never punched a wall before.
You're kidding.
I swear on my life, on our friendship and podcast, I have never punched a hole.
That is super.
I have never punched a door. I might have thrown a, the paper towel roll, that little thing of cardboard that's in the middle.
Yeah.
I might have thrown that across the room, but I've never punched a wall or a door.
It's very off brand.
I know. And so I was sitting here and somebody's poking fun at me because they say between the cigars and the whiskey and the Monster and the haircut and now the Mustang, Kyle, that you're the meme, walking meme of a Kyle. And I didn't know that was an actual thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the Mustang is 100% on brand with being a
Kyle.
Stereotypical Kyle. Yep. So, I mean, dude, you're the guy that I've seen.
Careful.
No, I'm not going to be careful. We're sitting in freaking St. Petersburg in Trevor Sikkema's house and talking about grinding tape at 11:15 at night.
Yeah,
We've been out to practice all day. Everyone's ready for bed. The notion that we're going to grind some tape happens. I never seen a man stand up so quick in my life as you did in that moment, filling up the C4 into the water bottle, taking pre-workout at 11:30 PM to grind some tape when we got to be up at 6 in the morning the next day.
Joe, that's why I'm the grind father.
That's why you're also named Kyle.
But I think that's correlation, not causation. Go ahead. Let's talk some football.
I'm looking at Kyle memes right now, and I'm just like, yeah, I know that dude.
So if I Google Kyle memes, it will give me.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it's actually an entire thing, and this is 100% you. I cannot believe you've never punched a hole in drywall. You've done other aggressive.
No one kid's named Kyle. Oh, this is a kid with his shelf is filled with all monsters. He's got a Monster poster in the back, and the picture next to it is. Drywall with a hole punched in.
All right, Kyle, I got a football topic.
Okay.
All right. So Eric Flowers, offensive lineman, he plays for the Washington Redskins. Very storied. Yeah. And he's one of the most notably bad offensive linemen in the NFL, right? In recent times that just continues to find playing time. Well, the Redskins are going to play him at guard. They're likely to start him at left guard this year. Are the problems with Eric Flowers eliminated by kicking him inside?
No, because being kicked inside doesn't fix bad footwork or poor hand technique.
And everything happens quicker on the interior.
Correct. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So you've almost accentuated the issue. If a guy carries his hands low or can't frame a block or can't establish a first punch, because the guy that's going to be running directly past him and turning Eric Flowers into a turnstile is closer to the football.
It'd be interesting. Were you a Flowers guy coming out?
I had him in the high 40s.
Okay.
I certainly didn't have him in the top 10 overall.
Right. Right. Well, if there's anything that's going to save Eric Flowers' career, it's going to be Bill Callahan.
Yeah, it's not going to be the fact that he kicked inside the guard.
Right.
It's going to be coaching.
Right. And a tremendous offensive line coach. Did I say Bill Bob Callahan? I meant to say Bob Callahan.
Bill Callahan, that was Raiders coach back in the day.
I don't know where I got Bill from. Bill and Bob are similar names. I think that's going to be the best thing for his career. And playing next to Trent Williams, that's not going to hurt either. So we'll see how it goes. I don't think it fixes everything, but to me, the biggest thing for Eric Flowers moving forward is the chance to work with Callahan.
Is it Bill or Bob?
Brother, I can't remember. I can't.
It's Bill. It's Bill.
Is it Bill? I had it right the first time.
It's Bill. That's why I was confused. I was like, wait. And he was the Raiders head coach in 2002 and 2003.
Yeah, sorry. It is Bill.
Assistant head coach and offensive line coach, Bill Callahan. Been with the Redskins since 2015.
Should have stuck with my gut on that originally.
Yeah. Go with your gut, brother.
Yeah.
It's a sports thing, but it's not a football thing per se.
All right.
Did you see Sports Talk Barry got Skip Bayless?
No.
So Sports Talk Barry made up a fake report. Sources tell ESPN that Chris Paul repeatedly made fun of James Harden for having, quote, man boobs during practices over the last two seasons. Several times Harden broke down into tears and had to leave the practice. So this is obviously not true, right?
I was going to say, this seems very weird.
No surprise to see Harden wanting Chris Paul out in Houston. And this thing blew up. It got like 4,000 retweets, like 20,000 likes. Well, apparently Skip Bayless went on Undisputed on Fox Sports 1 and referenced this made up.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Did he talk about Brett Favre coming out of retirement too?
Skip put out a tweet today saying that something along the lines of, why I think Brett's serious about a comeback.
Oh, no.
Up next on Undisputed.
Kyle, we're doing what he wants, though. We're talking about this crap.
I know, and I'm not sharing anything on social because I don't want to give the impressions and whatnot. But this is it's a heavyweight fight, right, between him and Stephen A.
Yeah.
And it's very funny and amusing to see, like, the back and forth of – I think Skip, like, I'll give Stephen A. credit. Stephen A.'s everywhere, right?
And he gets $10 million a year.
Right. I mean, he's on the morning shows. He's on Get Up. He's on First Take. He's on the NBA shows. Like, there's probably days where he does, 6 to 8 hours of programming, it feels like. He's everywhere. So I can understand a guy that's spread that thin, kind of maybe not having the full time to prepare adequately for some of the talking points that he's going to be given. Okay. But Skip, what's Skip's excuse? I don't think he's got one.
It's making a lot
of money. The fact that he just got pinged by Sports Talk Barry on a fake report about Chris Paul, James Harden, and man boobs is one of the highlights of the day thus far.
Some of these guys make it real easy, Kyle.
Yes.
Who do you think is the most polarizing team in the NFL when it comes to projecting how good they're going to be in 2019?
From big media or fans?
Either's fine. Just when you think about, in general, a team that everybody seems to have a hard time figuring out how good they're going to be in 2019.
I think the Browns still fall into that category, to be honest with you.
That's a great answer. And because of that, we're going to go 16 games here, and we're going to figure out what Kyle Krabs thinks the record is going to be in 2019.
I know Adam Rank had him go 10-6, and I think Rank had the Bengals go 0-11 to start, and they were 1-13 and then won their last two games. Rank had the Dolphins, I think, going 2-14 or 3-13 as well. So I think Rank expects half the league to finish below 5-11 this year.
Well, there's a math problem with that idea.
Yeah, I know. I don't disagree with you.
And I'm not even a math guy, you know? All right, you ready for this? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go.
At home to start the season against Tennessee.
Win.
1-0. At the Jets on Monday Night Football Week 2.
Win.
2-0. Hosting Los Angeles Sunday Night Football Week 3. The Rams.
The fact that it's prime time helps the Rams with the time change a little bit. I'll go Rams in that game.
All right, so 2-1. Next is at Baltimore Sunday afternoon.
Give me a loss on the road.
All right, 2-2 the first quarter of the season. Next up is Monday Night Football at San Francisco.
Win.
3-2. Then they host Seattle, 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
1 o'clock?
Yep.
Win.
3-3, heading into the bye week.
No.
What?
4-2. Just gave him two wins.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What is it then? It's 3-2.
They were 2-2, and I just gave him two wins.
Yeah, you know I'm not a math guy, so they're 4-2. Right? Yeah, they're 4-2, right?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
All right, sorry, I'm not, not great. So 4-2 going into the bye week. Out of the bye week, they go to New England.
Oh, road game?
Yeah.
Off the bye.
You can buy a ticket for $306 right now.
No thanks, hard pass. But I'll probably go Patriots in that game just because it's a road game.
All right, 4-3. 4-3.
Yes, that's correct.
Next game is at Denver. Sunday.
Win.
5-3. They have a big one coming up here. Week 10, they host the Buffalo Bills.
Win.
6-3, right?
Yes.
All right. Then Thursday, November 14th, hosting the Steelers.
Short week.
Yeah, but they're at home.
Win.
So what does that make?
7-3.
7-3. Then they host the super powerful Miami Dolphins.
Win.
7-3. Yeah, 8-3. Yep. At Pittsburgh.
That's a loss.
8-4, right?
Yes.
Hosting Cincinnati.
Win.
9-4, right?
Yes.
At Arizona.
Win.
10-4. Hosting Baltimore.
Yeah, and I had him lose to Baltimore earlier, didn't I?
Yeah, at Baltimore.
On the road.
Yep.
I guess a win.
11-4. They close the season at Cincinnati.
I mean, they'll be 12-4 if they have something to play for.
Right. So you have this team. So based on this, like your low point is 10 wins, right? You would say?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And then between 10 and 12 wins is your expectation for the Cleveland Browns in 2019.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they are helped by having their tough stretches. They've got the bye, the Seahawks game and the Patriots game. They have the bye sandwiched in between those two games. Those are tough two games.
Yep.
Playing the AFC East is favorable.
Yeah.
Just because that's one thing I did for Finnit to Win It this week. I know I mentioned this earlier as I talked about the state of the division and – you know, there's a lot of new players, like New York, right? The fact that you have a lot of new players in New York, new head coach, the Browns at least have continuity, even though they made a coaching change. Jets may take a little while to get things up to speed. They catch the Bills, right at the beginning of the second half of the season?
Right at week 10, I mean, so...
It's the Browns' ninth game.
Yeah.
I would expect the Bills are starting to play better in that juncture. But because of – we're looking at potentially four or five new starting offensive linemen for the Bills, correct?
Yeah, the offense is probably only going to have two or three returning starters overall.
Yeah, that's wild.
Defense will be stacked, but yeah, offense.
I think the Bills have the potential to start slow, but this would be the point of the year where I expect to see the Bills start to turn around. And I also don't think the Dolphins are going to have the punching power to stay with Cleveland. So the AFC East helps. The NFC West helps because you get the Cardinals and 49ers, who I'm not necessarily buying a ton of stock in. And they get Seahawks at home. So the out of division schedule for the Browns is pretty favorable this year.
Yeah, if you look at that NFC West stretch, if you could pick to go to two places, you'd pick San Francisco and Arizona. If you could pick two teams to come to your place, you'd pick Seattle and LA. And that's exactly what they got.
Yeah, and then they get the Bengals twice in the last 4 weeks of the season.
Right, when things could be dicey there. They could be playing Ryan Finley at that point, right?
When you're in crunch time, you got to really dial in.
Well, Andy Dalton to Tyler Boyd, brother. I'll never forget it. Week 17. Put the Bills
Best moment of your sports adult fanhood, right?
That's as good as it's been for me. The play that put the Bills backdooring into the playoffs at 9-7 to end the drought after 17 seasons.
Was that a win and in situation for the Bills, or did they need to win and get help?
Yeah, they had to win, and Cincinnati had to beat Baltimore.
And they did.
Yes.
Okay. I remember because the Bills went in the locker room. And they watched the walk-off, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff, yeah.
I want to do the same thing. I had mentioned that Adam Rank had the Bengals going 0-11 to start.
Okay.
And they were 1-14 at one juncture in the season.
Are you going to make me do the Bengals?
You are going to do the Bengals.
Okay. Oh, man. You know me and the Bengals, man.
Because I'm sorry, this is not a good team, but I don't think this team goes 1-14 to start, or 1-13 to start the season.
Let's find out.
And the win he gave them was a game that I don't think they'll win.
I'm ready.
Week one at Seattle.
Loss.
Okay, 0-1. Week two, home, 1 o'clock, 49ers.
Win.
1-1. All right. We're already off to a better start.
I mean, the rationale behind that is Zach Taylor is really familiar with San Francisco.
Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah, that's going to help a lot.
Week three at Buffalo.
Big L. Big
L. Yeah. 50-0.
Yeah.
Week four at Pittsburgh.
L.
So 1-3, first quarter of the season. Week five, home against Arizona, 1 o'clock.
Win.
2-3. Week six at Baltimore.
Loss.
Week seven, home against the Jaguars.
That's tough.
That's like a coin toss game, right?
Yeah, but I've not given them the benefit of the doubt yet, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here.
Okay, we'll give them a win. Now we're 3-4.
Yep.
Week eight at Rams.
Loss.
3-5 going into the bye week on week nine. Okay, they got five home games coming up the second half of the season.
Oh, nice.
3-5. Week 10, home against Baltimore.
Wow, four of their first six is on the road. That sucks.
Yes.
We'll give them a win coming out of the bye. Yeah, win.
Okay, so we're 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
At Oakland Raiders.
Loss.
4-6. Home against the Steelers.
Loss.
4-7. Home against the Jets. This was the game that Rank gave them the first win of the season.
It's a toss-up. I'm going to give them a loss here, but I'll probably give them the benefit of the doubt somewhere else.
4-8. Well, you're going to run out of chances to give them the benefit of the doubt here. At the Browns.
Loss.
4-9. Home against the Patriots.
Loss.
4-10. At Miami.
Win.
5-10, and then home against the Browns.
It's all about if those Browns are 11-4 like you had them.
So you think 6-10, 5-11.
Yeah, they're a 5-7 win team in my view.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But not like two wins.
I vehemently disagree with your prognostication of week 16, but.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It's a December game in Miami, dude.
I know.
That humidity is going to tag them.
But wait, really, look at the Bengals roster. Is it that bad? Like, you don't love their linebackers? But where else? I mean, Andy Dalton's a very middling quarterback. They have good weapons on offense. They have, I mean, if they assemble the offensive line correctly, it looks like it could be good to me. Their defensive line's really good. Their secondary is really good. Like, what's the problem with this football team? And I know I fell for it last year, brother. I know it.
Yep.
But I just don't think it's a bad roster.
They're bad in the wrong spots.
Linebacker?
The offensive line has problematic potential.
Right? Doesn't have to be the case, and that's what pisses me off about it.
Bobby Hart and John Jerry on the right side?
It doesn't have to be that. This is what you do. It's Jonah Williams at left tackle. At left guard, you put Clint Bowling. At center, you have Billy Price. At right guard, you have either John Miller or Christian Westerman. And as your right tackle, you have Cordy Glenn. And that's a perfectly good, at least average NFL offensive line.
I don't disagree, but they're not going to do that.
Well, that's ridiculously dumb. And Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan can be one and done for all I care. If you can't assemble that correctly. You've got the personnel. If you wind up with John Jerry and Bobby Hart as starting offensive linemen, then you deserve to be fired, especially with this depth chart.
They've got three good weapons on offense. Green, Boyd, and Mixon. Eifert's washed. I don't care what you say. They brought back C.J. Uzomah as the other tight end and drafted Drew Sample in the second round.
So they're not great at tight end. So
tight end's not good. Half the offensive line is not good.
Doesn't have to be.
They're soft. I know it doesn't have to be, but it's going to be. And listen, I am all here for Jonah Williams, Cordy Glenn, and Billy Price as a left to right.
Imagine not using that. But then put Cordy Glenn at right tackle. That solves that problem too.
It does. But you're still going to have two bad guards. I guess Clint Bowling's okay. Never mind.
John Miller is at least an average starter. And Christian Westerman, this is the problem with a guy like Christian Westerman. You've seen this with a lot of different players throughout the NFL. The fact that he could play guard or center keeps him on the bench.
Yeah.
It's like a blessing. It gets you on a roster, but it keeps you out of the starting lineup if you could play both spots.
Right.
I think the receivers are good. A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, and then like Josh Malone's interesting. John Ross.
He's not good. They're not good. They're interesting. There's a big difference.
But that's fine as your third and fourth receiver. You've got studs in Green and Boyd.
That's not fine for three and four. Who do you like in the slot? Tyler Boyd?
Yeah. Put Stanley Morgan Jr. outside on the other side.
Probably better than John Ross. And then I think the athleticism on the second level and on the edge of the defense hurts them. I know Carl Lawson's there. Carl Lawson's coming back from injury. We need to see what he looks like this year. But the rest of the defensive ends, like I like Sam Hubbard.
Carlos Dunlap's like the amazing player.
Yes, but he's also getting a little older. And the linebackers are not athletic.
Yeah, the linebackers are total crap. I can't believe that they're serious about this. Just completely ignoring it for years. And maybe that's because they went like hard on it. Didn't they have Ray Maluga and like Keith Rivers and these guys?
Yeah, Keith Rivers was the one I was trying to think of. I was like, who's the guy they took out of USC that like was like a folk hero coming out of college and then he like broke his jaw and it like ruined him.
My point
is I think the Bengals have crippling deficiencies in the roster with the way that it's constructed.
I don't know.
Bad quarterback play. At this point, you need more.
They have at least an average quarterback in Andy Dalton.
I think the skill players around him are elevating Andy Dalton.
We'll see what happens with Zach Taylor. See if this offensive scheme works.
Ultimately, I do agree with you. I think this is a 5-7 win team.
Right.
But
they're not that far off, though, right? Like,
I mean, if they figure out right tackle, whatever you need there, they're going to need a quarterback, and you need a stud linebacker on the second level.
Two, maybe. In this economy, you need some good linebackers
and some more youth at the outside pass rush.
Sam Hubbard, Carl Lawson, Carlos Dunlap.
Carlos Dunlap is not youth.
Jordan Willis?
Yeah.
Oh, Kyle.
Secondary's
damn
good.
Damn Cleveland teams. These Ohio NFL teams, man. Polarizing.
Are we forgetting anybody? Cleveland, Cincinnati. That's it, right?
You know, you're going to put us on the spot like that? We just pissed off somebody. We forgot an NFL franchise in Ohio. We're done.
Yeah, I know.
Might as well hang it up. We'll be Skip Bayless.
Well, be you and I. It's time to hang it up. Just called a shot. We're shutting down the pod. Thank you guys for listening to Water Cooler Wednesday. We hope you had a fun time. We'll be back tomorrow with Tier Maker Thursday. And Joe, I have a proposition.
Okay.
We were approached by our boss, yeah. J.C. Cornell.
Should probably do it, right?
Well, I think we need to do it, but here's my proposition. We're starting to pick up the Twitch schedule, right?
Yeah.
What if tomorrow night, we do Thursday as scheduled, but what if we did another Tier Maker on Friday of JC's choice and did it live on Twitch tomorrow night, and then we could post it on the pod for Friday?
Just confirm the boss man can show up on Thursday night.
But you like the idea.
Yeah, well, we'll have to make sure that our Tier Maker Thursday doesn't extend into two shows again, though.
Yeah, I know. We need to pick a smaller pool to hurry to.
Yeah.
Us expecting to talk about anything less than five topics in a single show is just not going to work.
Right.
It's just the way it is. All right. Come back tomorrow. Tier Maker Thursday tomorrow. If you have any ideas on what you'd like to hear us talk about, you can reach us. Joe is at the Joe Marino. I'm at Grinding the Tape. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Draft Dudes Podcast.